All right, our memory verse, Revelation 15, 3. Let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, then the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 15, 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15, 3. And let's do it again. Revelation 15, 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15, 3. Father, thank you for this class and the part we could have in the auditorium, curtain. And I just pray that you will just help everything to go well. I pray that the insurance, the adjustment, and everything will go well this week. And Father, that people will be able to start working on the remodeling in the foyer upstairs. And we just ask, Lord, that everything will be done fair and it'll be just. And God, that we'll be able to praise you for what you do. We still marvel at all that you've done through this winter. And that which certainly could have been so bad, you've turned it around for good. You do that so many times. Please bless our time now. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, you just noticed the air conditioning just turned on. And are you going to be all right, Sharon? It's right in line there. And I knew it was going to turn on because it's set on 70, and we cannot let it get too warm in here. How many of you are too warm? Okay, just some. I am sweating at this point, but that's okay. So it is now on, and we're going to make it for the next month, probably a month. All right, we are on the lesson number 31. Does anyone need lesson 31? I forgot to ask that. Lesson 31. Michael, did you get one? He has one. Very good. Anyone else need it? Lesson 31. Linda needs one. Brother Harnden, right up here, we need one. Linda, anybody else? Phyllis needs one. Lesson 31, the title, An Assortment of Messages. Remember Revelation 14 and 15. We have all these messages, different messages. Phyllis, right here. You giving Phyllis a hard time? She needs it. It's good, isn't it, Phyllis? Amen. All right. There. Am I on now? Yes. Very good. All right. So Revelation 14 and 15, we have all these messages. We had number one. The message of the 144,000, talked about that. Again, they were singing a song nobody's ever sung before because they were saved in the midst of the tribulation. And then they went out, and they were soul winning and winning people to Christ and preaching, and a message that nobody else had ever experienced before. Then number two, the message of the first angel. And again, remember, these angels are just called another angel. They don't have names. They're not given anyway. I mean, I'm sure they do have names, but they're not given because that's not the important thing. This angel is flying around all over the earth, the circle, circling the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just preaching away, circling the globe. Again, angels aren't used to preach. Today, we are used to preach, but in that day, this angel will do that. And that'll be, again, during the tribulation, around the middle of the tribulation. We looked at Roman numeral 3 last week, or 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was, and that is the message of the second angel. And again, that's another angel, another like the other. And it talks about the judgment on Babylon. And remember, Babylon could be the name of a city. There are cities named Babylon. There was a city, an ancient city named Babylon. But really, probably, this is referring to the world system of Babylon, the world system that is against God and has been against God for years, and again, spurred on by Satan, the world system Babylon is going to fall. We know that, and we'll talk more about that whenever we get to Revelation 17 and 18 and the rate we're going. That'll be in a few years, maybe after the rapture. But anyway, this message of the second angel, certainly a good message. We come to number four, Roman numeral four, the message of the third angel. And that covers verses 9 through 12. And let's look at those. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." And so the message of the third angel, it starts out and it says, the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice. Now this is the last, as far as we can tell, at least scriptural making reference to it, this is the last hellfire and damnation message to the lost. This is a message to lost people. Judgment is coming. Let me just remind you, that is the message that should be preached today, maybe more than ever, and yet it is the message that is not being preached today. It's being preached less and less. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, the closer we get, it seems that that message would be preached more. Unfortunately, that message is being preached less. And again, I'm talking about overall. It is not politically correct to preach hellfire and damnation. It makes people very upset preaching hellfire and damnation, and yet there's no message needed more than hellfire and damnation. Hell is real. Damnation is real. The judgment of God is real. It is going to happen. And here, this angel gets to preach this last hellfire and damnation message to those during the tribulation who are lost and who can be saved. Notice two things about it right away here. Two things. It is to those, verse 9, if any man worship the beast and his image. Remember the image, this big statue, whatever it is. It could be in that day, it could be a hologram. You know, we don't know. We don't know what all that is. But this, if any man worship the beast and his image, that's the first thing. If any man worship, or the Bible says, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. And so you have the two people it's talking about here. Those who worship the beast in his image, those who receive the mark in the forehead or in their hand. And again, I want to remind you, it's so important that we get this as we think about our day. And the thing we seem to struggle with, well, if it says it's religious, it must be godly. Folks, that is not true. Now, I'm not going to point my finger at anybody or anything, but I'm just telling you, just because it says it's religious, it doesn't mean it's of God. Because what we see in the tribulation time is we see the religious, I'm telling you, the most out of hell, wicked, vile, by far, group. It's very religious. The false prophet, come on. Well, you know, he's a prophet. He's wicked, and he's vile, and he's anti-God, and he's anti-Christ. And so remember this, as we think about receiving the mark of the beast, as we think about the 666, and we, you know, this has been talked about, especially in our age group. You know, we remember in the 70s, they really were preaching about prophecy and with Jack Van Impe and a lot of the preaching. And so, you know, we have that in our minds and we think about that. Just understand that the idea of not being able to buy or sell, That is a part of it, but a huge part of it, and please don't misunderstand, is worshiping the Antichrist. It is a religious action that is taking place. It has commercial results. It has, whether you can buy or sell, it has those kinds of results. But it is an acknowledgement of worship and allegiance to the Antichrist. That is the mark. I understand you can't buy, you can't sell, but the whole issue, and that's exactly why. If they came around today, and they're already talking about putting computer chips in people, and I guarantee I'm sure they've actually done it with some people. They've been putting computer chips in animals for years, GPS locators, and who knows all the information in that stuff. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be something you can be tricked into going to hell. Okay, we cannot be tricked into being saved. You can't, we that go soul winning, we that win people to Christ. You can't trick somebody into getting saved. Now, you might be able to trick somebody into praying a prayer, but praying a prayer doesn't save you. You know, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It starts in the heart. And you can't trick people. And in the tribulation time, people will decide whether they're going to worship the beast or not, and they will receive the mark based on that. And it's very clear in this section, especially, that the two are hand in hand in verse 9. If you worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, God says those two go together. Somebody says, well, I've got to be able to eat. I've got to be able to buy. I've got to be able to sell. I've got to be able to. But what you're going to have to do is you are going to have to say, I give my allegiance to the Antichrist. I give my allegiance. And I understand, somebody said, well, that's going to be a temptation. Well, what keeps people from getting saved today? Why will people say no? And they do say no. Why when you knock on somebody's door and you talk to them out in the yard or you see them at a park or wherever and you say, could I show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven? I don't care about that. Blankety blank. And it's like, why would they do that? Well, it's going to be the same in the end in the tribulation time. And so this is important to understand. Now, you'll notice then the fourfold condemnation that God says will take place. And again, here's the angel. This angel is going around and with a very loud voice proclaiming this message and saying, if you take the mark, if you worship the beast and receive his mark, we have to believe at this point in the tribulation, there will be some who have not decided yet. We have to believe there will be people all over the earth who have not made that decision yet. And so they now are going to hear the result if they take the mark of the beast and worship the beast. The same, verse 10, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Number one of the fourfold condemnation is they will face God's wrath. And notice the comparison here. It says they'll drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Now, that is so important. That is so important. Do you understand, folks? We really don't see the wrath of God today. Not like they will see in that day. I mean, you have to understand, it will be, and it's important, and I've underlined in my Bible the two words, without mixture. Because what has happened is, in our day, God's wrath is, it seems to be diluted some. It's diluted some. It's not the full wrath of God. It is You know, he has withheld his wrath. Do you ever find yourself, people that, for example, are worshiping the devil? Why doesn't God just lightning bolt them into little crispy critters? But he doesn't. I mean, remember Uzzah? We talked about it on Wednesday night. Uzzah, he touched the Ark of the Covenant, and he died just like that. Ananias and Sapphira during offering time. Well, it wasn't during offering time, but it's what goes through my mind. I mean, it had to do with the offering. They lied. And first, Ananias died. Sapphira, his wife, is given an opportunity to tell the truth. She lies. She dies. Just like that. Seriously, it'd change our whole offering time, wouldn't it? Wow. I mean, we'd have to have funeral directors here, after the offering. But God doesn't do that. You ever wonder how this kid goes in and starts knifing people in school? I mean, seriously. Do we ever find ourselves, do you read the paper or listen to the news and say, when is God going to say enough? And religion has become so whitewashed and watered down. You know, when is God going to say this is enough? Well, he will someday. And that's exactly the message here. God's wrath in the tribulation, it will be poured out without mixture. There will be no diluting the wrath of God during this point. It will be, it says very, very clearly, it will be poured out in its full strength. Let me go ahead and have ushers come, if they would, and we'll collect our offering. And just go ahead and do that, and I'll keep going. Then, not only does he talk about God's wrath, by the way, we go back to the same old thing whereby the world is, nobody wants to talk about God's wrath anymore. You know, oh God, he's just a chubby little old fella up in heaven with a gray beard and gray hair. And, you know, they always kind of describe Santa Claus and he just loves everybody. And let me tell you, God is a God of wrath. I promise you, God is a God of wrath. And of all times, folks, seriously, of all times, and I'll talk about this a little bit in the message, but this time of year, if we can't see the wrath of God, you say, oh, no, this is Easter season, and we see the love of God. Well, I'm with you on that. We do see the love of God. But don't you see the wrath of God? Well, no, how would I see that? Isn't it sad how we get our thinking gets away from what really is going on as far as the cross? That is the wrath of God poured out on his son who died for us. That is the wrath. You talk about the wrath of God? I'm talking about from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It is black as black can be. The sun's blotted out. The Father can't look on the Son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You telling me that God is just a big old warm and fuzzy kind of a guy upstairs that we can just crawl on his lap? And that's the wrath of God poured out on his own Son for me. Don't get this idea, folks, that God doesn't have wrath. Anyway, I got to move on. Then the Bible says, not only God's wrath, but they will also face torment. It says, and he, the middle part of verse 10, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Who is it? The same, it says in verse 10. Who's the same? Anyone who worships the Antichrist. Anyone. Torment. Again, don't misunderstand, you know. Hell, I don't know how many people said, you know, I think God's going to change his mind. And he's just going to put out the fires of hell. No, he's not. Because God has to be true to his word. Amen. And God's going to keep his word. I don't like it. I've never liked hell. Certainly when I was lost, I didn't like hell. I don't like hell as a preacher either. I don't. I'd rather there not be a hell. But if we forget that there's a hell, if we somehow turn on the sprinkler system of hell, then we don't seem to notice all the people around us who might be going there. So we need to understand this torment. This torment is before the Lamb whom they rejected, before the holy angels, and there will be no mercy. Why? Because they rejected mercy. God offered mercy to every man. Now, I don't understand all of it, don't have it all figured out, but I believe what God says. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for everybody. Anyone that would call upon him could be saved. And so many say no. They want nothing to do with that. And there will be torment. Again, verse 10 is in the Bible. Other verses are in the Bible that talk about torment, and hell is torment. You know, you talk to some folks, well, you know, we'll just all get together and our buddies and we'll drink beer in hell. You won't drink anything. Rich man couldn't find a drop of water. He would have taken one drop, but he'll never get one drop, ever. Torment. It's a terrible, terrible place. And then the Bible, the third thing we see is that it's eternal. In verse 11, it says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And again, it's the smoke of their torment. It's not the smoke of their poof. Okay, it's not annihilation. A lot of religions say, well, you know, people go to hell, just burn up, and then they're gone. Wrong. It is torment forever. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. That is eternal. It's eternal. I don't care how you may try to misinterpret forever and ever, but that's pretty hard to misinterpret, isn't it? I mean, even a fourth grader in our school would understand what forever and ever means. That's a long time, isn't it? You can't misinterpret. Seriously, can you misinterpret that? I have people, I don't think he means it, but this is what he said. It's a long time. And if a person's not saved, that's why your neighbor, your coworkers, your loved ones, they need to get saved now. It'll be hard to get saved during the tribulation. I'm not going to argue that, but now's when they need to be saved. It's forever and ever. And then the fourth thing that we see here, and I'm going to go just a little bit over because I can, that is second part of verse 11. It says, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. They have no rest. No rest. Again, this is the idea of what it's like in hell. No rest. What's that mean? It means no peace, no rest, day or night. And again, the emphasis goes back to that same thing. Whoever worships the beast and receives the mark. The two are linked together. It is not, you know, separate one from the other. This whole thing, it is a spiritual issue. It's not a commercial issue. Commerce is involved. It's not a military issue. Military is involved. It is a spiritual, religious issue during the tribulation. It is a religious issue today, is what I'm telling you. Today. The battles that we are fighting today, it is a spiritual. Well, you know, if you vote a certain, I understand voting is one thing. It's important to vote. It's important to vote right. It's important to pray about it. All those things are what, you know, that's true. But don't just call it politics. It's spiritual. It is a fight for right. Yes, I'm an American, and I believe America is the greatest country on the face of this earth. But I am a Christian first. And I'm a Christian. The reason I love America is because I'm a Christian. I mean, that's it. I mean, that is first and foremost. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ. And so far, there's no conflict. But every now and then there does come a conflict, doesn't there? I'm telling you, folks, it's gonna get tougher and tougher as we recognize spiritual battles more so. You know, we've been protected a long time, but this spiritual battle's been going on and on and on, and we just don't see it that much. I just read, and I'm gonna somehow I gotta figure out a way to present this ministry that I've been. I know the man. Christians in other countries, just unbelievable. Unbelievable persecution going on. You know, what if you had to stand for what you say you believe? Honestly, I think so many Christians in America would just fall flat on their face. I mean that. I really mean it. I just, lose the nice suits and the nice ties and the nice buildings. I mean, come on, this is our second choice down here. This is our second choice, and it's nicer than the average missionary ever sees. Do you realize that? I guess we got to go down to the fellowship hall. There's people in other countries that would give anything to have this room, these seats. But I'm just saying, what would we do if real persecution came? And I'm telling you, it's not commercial. It's not political. It's not military. It is spiritual, because what will you do? And bless God, I'll get my shotgun. I understand all that kind of stuff. But what if you can't get your shotgun? Will you do what's right? And it's day in and day out, folks. How do we live anyway? Do we do right? How do you do when no one's looking? Yeah, he is. He always is. But we sort of forget that, and we kind of sneak around and get away. We get on the internet and we do our little stuff, and